All right. Well, some big news all the way across the globe today. In Indonesia, the largest economy in Southeast Asia, the fourth most populous country in the world behind China, India and the U.S., it's got a new leader today. His name is Joko Widodo, and he is the first president of Indonesia who doesn't come from the military or political elite. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani joins us from Jakarta. And Karishma, tell us more about him. Who is he?
Well, Joko Widodo is seen as a man of the people, and it's because of this common man image that he has been catapulted to power. Now, if you look at his beginnings, they're pretty humble. He grew up on the banks of a riverside slum. He's the son of a carpenter, a former furniture seller, and it's because of these humble beginnings that so many Indonesian people who voted him in believe that he can empathize with their problems, that he too has suffered electricity blackouts for hours on end. His house has also been flooded during the annual rainy season. He's also had to deal with the frustrating bureaucracy that can permeate through so many Indonesian people's lives. So it's for all of those reasons that he is very much loved here in Indonesia. And in fact, during his previous incarnations as the mayor of Solo and then the governor of Jakarta, we've seen that he's had a clean, no-nonsense style type of governance. And I think that's the reason why so many people have such high expectations of him. They're really hoping he'll bring a different style of governance to this country.
And he takes over a country that is 90% Muslim. And I know that one of the key issues that he's going to have to deal with is stopping the flow of fighters going to Iraq and Syria to fight alongside ISIS.
Yes, over the last couple of months, we have seen a number of Indonesians heading to the Middle East to fight alongside ISIS fighters. That's despite the fact that the previous government actually banned the spreading of ISIS ideology here in Indonesia. Now, it has to be said that the number of people we've been told by the anti-terror chief here that have gone overseas to fight in the ISIS forces is anywhere between 50 to 100. It's not huge. But the reason that Indonesian authorities are concerned, and I'm sure that the new president will also be concerned about this, is because in the past, Indonesia has battled radical elements in this country. Now, I don't know how many people will still remember the Bali bombings of 2002, when more than 200 people were killed in a club in the holiday island of Bali.
Yeah.
But it's those sorts of things that really worry authorities and people here. And I'm sure that the new president will be very keen to stem the number of people, to arrest the number of people from going overseas and joining these ISIS forces.
I know that he's also got to deal with an issue involving fuel subsidies. Tell us about that.
Well, Indonesia spends billions of dollars every single year subsidizing fuel for its citizens. If you were to come out here and fill your car up with petrol, you would be shocked at just how cheap the price of fuel is here. So the government has to wean Indonesians off this addiction to cheap fuel. One of the major reasons for that is because these subsidies, economists say, don't actually end up in the pockets of the poor. They actually end up benefiting the middle classes the most. And so what the government needs to do is to raise fuel prices. Now, this is a politically unpopular move. Every time previous governments have tried to do this, they've been met with huge protests on the streets. And it's something that politicians are very nervous about. Having said that, Mr. Widodo has already indicated that he will have to raise the price of fuel. He enjoys widespread popular support. So it will be a real test of his presidency to see whether he can push this major decision through.
Karishma, just tell us finally about what the scene was like there in Jakarta today with this inauguration. We know that the U.S. Secretary of State, John Kerry, and many world leaders were there.
Yes, representatives from 17 different countries attended the inauguration. But it wasn't so much the inauguration that was the highlight of the day, I think. It was the events that followed the inauguration. There was a party on the streets of Jakarta through the main thoroughfare. They closed this huge boulevard where traffic goes up and down on any average day. They closed it off, the authorities, for this massive street party. And that's because the organization organizers of this event, young volunteers who helped to bring Mr. Widodo to power, said that they wanted to have a people's party for a people's president. Hmm. And I was out there just a couple of hours ago. It was amazing, like nothing I've ever seen before in my life. I met an elderly grandfather figure who'd come with his two young grandsons, and he told me that in the past, Indonesia had seen succession planning through bloodshed, and now they were celebrating with a huge party. That was a reference to the fact that there was a dictatorship here for 30 years in the past, and so a real sense of celebration in the air. Another woman told me that this man is like me. I'm a humble teacher from a village, and I feel that now I have my own president who will actually understand and listen to what I need. So there's a great deal of hope. There are huge expectations from this man, and I think that the biggest challenge for him will be living up to those expectations.
A very exciting day in Jakarta. That's the BBC's Karishma Vaswani, the Indonesia editor for the BBC, joining us from Jakarta. Karishma, thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.
And I'm looking at a photo on our website of the new president waving to crowds today in Jakarta. It looks very different than you would see in a U.S. presidential inauguration. It's at hereandnow.org if you want to take a look.